what he believes to be of quality. But there is, unseen by most, an episodic horror-based TV show. A show that still holds up. A show called Tales from the Dark Side.
It's a sin to waste good food like that. Chicken soup is so nutritious.
I am not Mary Jane. I am Aisha Kandisha, and I do not want any chicken soup. I want men's souls to eat.
Hey, what's up, and welcome back to Talks from the Dark Side, the podcast where we talk about Tales from the Dark Side, the 80s horror anthology television show created by George Romero and Richard Rubenstein. I'm Joel Escola.
I'm Sean O'Rourke.
And I'm Chris Barr.
Today we're talking about The Trouble with Mary Jane, directed by T.J. Castronovo and written by Edith Swenson from November 24th, 1985.
Hey, you guys ever seen Repossessed?
That's Devil in a Blue Dress,
Have you ever seen Scary Movie?
Yeah.
Because I feel like this movie's definitely leaning more in that territory. This episode's leaning more in that territory.
That's pretty much what we got here. It's a parody of The Exorcist.
Yeah.
And here we get another comedy episode. But I will say it's not the worst comedy episode.
Yeah, it's definitely ripping on a few different topics that kind of come together.
Yeah, it's also played mostly straight.
Yeah.
And you actually have an actual comedian in the show.
Which I think definitely helps as much as it can.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, before we get into the meat of this, can we get the Fangoria synopsis, please?
So this comes from the official Fangoria episode guide. No, it's not a lost sequel to Reefer Madness, but the story of two bickering, bumbling, would-be exorcists assigned to draw a demon out of a little girl's body. Their misguided attempts stir up more trouble than a room full of Reagan McNeils and more comic hijinks than a Three's Company rerun marathon.
That was an 80s-ass sentence. Run-on sentence.
Somebody just... Yeah. All right. Here's your
Reagan. Sitcoms.
Three's Company. I mean, they're not wrong though.
No.
Yeah.
Come on, knock on a door.
and we're hit immediately with that 80s stamp as the first name appears on screen for Phyllis Diller.
Oh, Phyllis Diller's there in full effect, but she was a comedian for a long time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We know her, of course, on Movie Dumpster from The Boneyard. Poopin' Plats.
Miss Poopin' Plats.
Yep. But yeah, you're right. She's in a million different things, and she was always known for her different wigs and her kind of over-the-top comedy style.
100%. We also get Lawrence Tierney in this, who's in a bajillion things as well.
Everything. Most notably, I guess, The Prowler. Also, he's in all sorts. They're both in all sorts of things.
Lawrence Tierney has already been in the MDU, and we haven't really covered much with him in it.
Yeah, but even though he's in so many movies, I just can't help but think of him as Joe Cabot in Reservoir Dogs, because that's a movie that like I saw early in my film watching days, if you want to word it that way.
I got the through line for you, man.
Okay.
This is what happened. So Lawrence Tierney was working at that bar in Silver Bullet, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's in Silver Bullet.
Yep.
He survived that werewolf attack. He meets Phyllis Diller. They get together. They cook up this scheme where they're reading tea leaves and telling tarot shits to housewives during the day.
For 5 bucks.
For $5.
But they're definitely not Ed and Lorraine Warren. They're definitely not.
No,
they're
definitely
trying
not.
Their best.
He didn't write a book on demonology or anything.
Right, not yet.
Yeah, well, not yet. They didn't. They could have did the Amityville thing with Aisha Kandisha in that house. They could have.
Gad.
But they didn't. So instead, they take this exorcism case, which they have no experience in, and then Lawrence Tierney's like, fuck this, there's no money in this. I'm going to start robbing banks.
I'm done bullshitting my way through this.
He starts hiring professionals, if you want to call them that, and they start robbing banks. Then he goes right to Reservoir Dogs. There he goes.
The pinks and the browns of the world.
Yes. Phyllis Diller, of course, she's split. She divorces him, gets a job at a morgue, and then gets turned into a giant fucking zombie monster. Yep.
And Alios.
Bitten by a Kiyoshi.
And Alios is there to watch it all, drink it in.
Yeah, she's speaking of drinking, she doesn't get bit. She gets that Kiyoshi shit in her mouth, yeah.
Well, yeah, Phyllis Diller, yeah. I was trying to go off on some MDU bullshit with the wizards, but if people that know what I'm talking about, Alios, wizards.
A little
know.
Too deep, but yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
It's all connected.
Yeah, sorry, Chris.
So right out of the gate, we get this little girl, Mary Jane, playing by Tanya Fenmore. And the only other thing I've seen her in is Twilight Zone, the movie. She's in that, the one, who did that one? The one where Scatman Crothers turns all the old people into little kids.
That's the kick the can.
Yeah, the
episode.
Kick the can.
That's
oh,
right. That's okay. Where I recognize her from.
Who directed that one?
That was I don't know. John. That wasn't John Landis.
No, Landis did the first.
Was it Dante?
No, Dante did.
Well, he did
the little kid.
Yeah, yeah.
And then George Miller did the last one.
I should. We'll flash it on screen.
Anyway, yeah.
It feels very Spielberg ass. So maybe somebody in that vein. I feel like it might have been.
It's one of them.
Adjacent to that. Anyway.
One of the directors of the Twilight Zone movie, let's just say.
Well, there you go. So she's there and she's possessed by this spirit or demon called Aisha Kandisha.
Aisha Kandisha.
Aisha Kandisha.
Goddess of seductresses.
My mom says that all the time. She'll just like walk around the house, like especially when I was a kid. Yeah. We used to watch these all the time and she'd be like, Aisha Kandisha. Like just, you know, fucking around.
I love her grandma though, because I know you said they're playing it straight, but this woman is like kind of a throwback to like, you know, the old monster movie kind of side characters that are just, you know, like from the theater days, like way over the top with the eyeballs like this all the time. And just like really overreacting to everything coming out of Lawrence Tierney's mouth.
She is a dime store Maggie Smith, dude.
A little bit.
Yeah, she's got the. She looks like she's going to fucking get that award in Hook.
Yeah, maybe. She's just kind of funny. I don't know. Because she's like, yeah, can you guys fix this? And the entire episode from beginning to end, Phyllis Diller was like, we're really not cut out for this. But of course, Lawrence Tierney's like, we really need the money. It's like 50K. Yeah. If we could solve this.
Yeah, because they're just shysters.
Well, right.
Much like Ed and Lorraine Warren.
Pretty much. It's like put Ed and Lorraine Warren through the Scary Movie blender. And
exactly.
This is kind of what you got.
There are a couple weird scenes throughout that kind of hint that maybe Phyllis Diller actually possesses some kind of spiritual cognivity, where like a card falls on the ground that you know, basically,
the fool.
That foreshadows stuff. And like, she makes some comments later on, like, oh, you're going to run into an animal. And the woman, when she's doing like a reading to a woman, she's like, this is bullshit. And she walks out, and Lawrence Tierney walks in with a pig.
Disgusting.
So, but it's like, you know, there's kind of that little like window dressing that, like, the person who doesn't actually care actually has some talent, but because she doesn't care, she doesn't even recognize it. And neither does her husband.
It's like enough for them to like have their own little, psychic little storefront
business
what's it called the tea room
it's just funny to me. I just like that little like detail that like they don't realize they're actually success because like wow, she actually is spiritual. It's like no, they just realize they think it's a scam and that's the end of it.
Yeah,
100%. So this is their big score. This is gonna be their big score, the silver tuna, if you will. You know,
this pea soup spitting motherfucker, this woman, girl, I should say.
Before we keep going, Aisha Kandisha's voice by Carol Seymour.
Okay.
I just want to bring her up because it's adjacent because we did Mortal Kombat Annihilation and she's one of the elder gods in that movie.
Weird thing.
Wow. Oh, well, when we get to Gad, that's even more. That's even better.
I was gonna say, is she the fucking gust of wind or the water bubbling around?
I don't know.
Air?
She's the water spirit or something. I don't know. I honestly.
And it
don't
sounds
know.
Like a very like iconic voice almost. It's like like this is a voice you've heard other places. So I guess I wouldn't connect it to Mortal. Yeah, that's a weird connection.
It's really weird.
I would have thought she'd like have this longer list of
she does
credits.
She does. She has a lot of stuff, but I noted that just because it was Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Sure, how could you not?
I mean, she's actually decorated with a lot of voice work and like bit part stuff. Before we go too far, get away from it too far. The first encounter they have with the little girl Mary Jane, who is being possessed by Aisha Kandisha, seductress of men. She's like, I am Aisha Kandisha. I have goat feet. And she like pulls back the fucking covers and these weird puppet feet.
Just dangling right there.
It's gross, dude.
It's a nice little effect.
Yeah, there's a lot of special effects in this where shit's flying around the room. Yeah. Lights are going on and off. Shit's popping off and exploding.
The best they could have done with the budget.
There's some shit later where I'm like, damn, they must have fucking picked something up from, they were like getting rid of a fucking Nightmare on Elm Street set.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's like after everything that seems like crazier than the last, like, okay, she's possessed. Oh, we can't take care of that. Oh, no, we can. Oh, she's got goat feet. No, we really can't take of it. Oh, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, Lawrence Chaney, we'll figure it out. Yeah. I'm gonna start working out and drinking water for the,
just drink mineral water.
It's pure springs water.
No problem.
That's one of his plans, walking around with this jug of fucking water.
So him and Phil Stiller, his first plan is,
we're gonna take this pig and we're gonna put this pig on the bed and we're gonna transfer the demon to the pig and then we'll kill the pig.
I love the whole time Phyllis Diller's like saying like this ain't gonna work, but then she's dragging in the fucking pentagram to put the pig on. Yeah.
Puts it on and like, you know, it's a whole back and forth. All these attempts are futile, right?
They're just sort of just like bumbling their way through this.
Because they have no idea what they're doing.
And we should talk about like the two, you know, characters together, like Nora and Jack Mills. It's like, again, and Lorraine Warren.
Sure.
Yeah.
But it's like, they're just like bumbling their way through this, bullshitting their way through it. And it's like, I don't know if it's just me, but like the way they're reading through the script, it's like very like wooden, especially Lawrence Tierney.
Lawrence Tierney is wooden.
Yeah.
like
he just sounds the same in everything he's in.
Like very matter of factly and just very, like a very wooden expression of getting through these lines.
There is something about when he asks, he's like, get me that jug of water from over there, please. He says it. And the way he says it, I don't know, cracks me up every time I hear it.
Would you hand me that bottle of water by the phone, please?
And she's like, walks over and hands it to him. He's like, thank you. Thank you.
Maybe part of it is played up for comedy, or maybe it's just that's how they act.
Oh, 100%. I mean, again, when you hire Phyllis Diller, you're doing comedy. Even in the Boneyard, she's comedy relief.
Yeah. Yeah. So I love how he has this whole fucking ridiculous plan he comes up with after a couple things don't work. Because, like, you know, this possessed entity, demon, whatever it is like sending like shit off the shelves at them when they try to like, you know, unpossess the girl, I guess. And like
exercise.
There you go. Lawrence Tierney's got a fucking bandage wrapped around his head at one point.
Oh, he gets knocked out from the pig thing.
Oh yeah, it's a pig. And he's like, yeah, I found this thing in a book.
The Necronomicon.
It might as well be. He's like, yeah, right here. It says how I can bind a demon or summon a demon. I'm like, you're gonna summon a demon now? How is this gonna solve things? You couldn't figure out like the base level part of this.
Yeah, he's like, just have faith in me, baby.
Just rolled her eyes hardcore.
I'm gonna buy you like 20 fur coats. I'm gonna get a nice fancy car after we exercise this little girl.
They come in, he like comes in and sets up all these candles and does like this ritual.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And when he's doing the ritual, he like calls forth this demon, but the fucking lights go out so he can't read the page and like finish with the incantation.
It's pitch black. He's like, I can't read it. It's pitch dark in here.
I love this demon though, by the way. It's just this like red light that's just like floating in the air and it's like, you summon me, tell me what to do. And it's like, you know, what if Pinhead showed up and you're just like, hold on a minute, I need to finish reading this.
Well, he shows up and he's like, you've awakened Gad.
Who do you think you are?
Yeah. Voiced by John Marzilli, by the way. Metal Beast himself.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's great.
Yeah. I think I brought that up in the Metal Beast
episode.
You
might have, yeah. Okay.
Where I was like, he's going to be popping up in
Tales.
That's
a nice connection.
So John Marzilli plays the,
you know,
the corporal, not the corporal, but the military guy who gets turned into a werewolf.
Yep.
So now Gad has entered Mary Jane as well. So now Gad is inside her as well as Aisha Kandisha. And I got to hand it to the actress here, man, because she's doing a great job of like being Aisha Kandisha and then being Gad.
Yeah, it's just like flipping between the two. And it's
pretty
like,
cool.
This is where it gets a little more interesting.
Yeah.
It's like, it was funny watching them kind of like bullshit their way through this,
yeah,
come up with new schemes and everything. But now it's like, all right, now we got a little more going on here.
So, I mean, I was cracking the fuck up that they are just at every turn making this worse and worse.
Oh, yeah. And it's like the parallels here of like this bumbling couple versus these bumbling demons.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
At the same time, because there's a man and a woman demon inside her, and they're
so we got like a good dynamic here.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. It's like if Schmeagol had another set of voices inside his mind arguing.
Lawrence Tierney's just like, ah, shit, that didn't work. Okay, this is where he's like lifting weights and like running around and then drinking the fucking gallon of water. He's like, pure spring water. I'm gonna fast for 7 days and I'm gonna get the power of light or some shit.
He just looked up how to get rid of demons. He read exercising.
James Fonda's exorcism.
They spelled it wrong.
God, he was outside praising the sun. Lawrence Tierney doing one of these at the sun.
I think isn't that in Stay Tuned?
I think it is,
where it's like, exerciser.
Oh. Yep, with and Linda Blair.
Okay, now do head spins, and they're like, their heads
rolls
like
around.
Yeah. Now puke.
As much as we're joking about it, somehow, some way, it actually does work.
Lawrence Tierney,
kinda.
He fucking walks in to exorcise Mary Jane, and he goes closer, and he's like, I'm gonna beat you, demon.
Your ticket's punched.
Your ticket's punched.
He actually manifests a ball of light at one point. And you're like, wait, what the fuck is
all going of a sudden
on?
He's got powers.
The demons are throwing shit at him, and he's like stopping
it.
Yeah.
It's that mineral water. Yeah. So just drink mineral water, you get some supernatural powers.
Pure spring water.
Yeah.
So there's a big battle, and the lights go out, and the demons are finally excised for Mary Jane. Hooray. Mary Jane is like, Grandma, what happened? What happened in the room? She's like, oh, it's okay. Yeah, these people got the demon, whatever's, you know. What happened in the room? It's okay. We'll get the decorator in.
Yeah, tomorrow. The decorator
back
in
your normal voice.
Yeah.
It's kind of like mellowed down a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, Mr. and Mrs. Mills, how could I ever repay you? They fucking turn around and like... They're all gaunt and shit.
They're all like hairs all frazzled,
like Large Marge.
Like it does look like a Large Marge. And Gad and Ayesha Khandisha are now in their bodies, but swapped. So Ayesha Khandisha's in Lawrence Tierney, and Gad is in Phyllis Diller.
Yeah, which is it's
you tough. Fool. There is no Jack Mills. I am Ayesha Khandisha.
Ayesha Khandisha's like, oh, I wanted to be in the female body. I'm in this fucking guy.
Shut up. Close the door, he says.
And she's like, yeah, it'll make it a lot harder to be
the seductress
of men being in this body, but okay.
Lawrence Tierney. It's
like better than the last one I was in.
And then it just fucks off. And that's the episode.
It. Yeah.
It's kind of just like Lawrence Tierney thought to the end he's going to solve this mystery, and nope, it just backfired on him.
He's got
in hilarious fashion.
They're about to be wasted. Like, as soon as those demons find another body, they're just going to be corpses lying on the fucking ground somewhere.
Yeah.
So what do we think of this one?
Don't love this one. It's kind of like middle of the pack for me, but it is very funny, and that kind of makes it stand out more. Again, I think you guys already said it, but yeah, Lawrence Tierney, not the greatest actor in the world, but he's a memorable actor. And Phyllis Diller, she doesn't do a lot based on what she's given. Basically, what she's told to do the entire episode is to say, that ain't gonna work. No, I don't want to do that. This is impossible. But she's still funny.
Yeah.
It's Phyllis Diller. And again, the grandma and even the kid are all funny, and you know, the VO for the demons. It's a funny episode overall. I really don't have complaints about it. It's just like, it was okay.
Yeah.
Would watch again, but definitely not one if I had to pick out of a hat and put on. It would not be the first one I'd be watching.
You'd throw it away and pick another one.
Exactly. You got what I'm trying to say here. Good, but not the best ever.
Yeah, it's like a goofy episode, and it's like, I usually don't like these comedy ones. I'm just like, I feel like it just shouldn't fit in with these other episodes.
Sure.
But this one doesn't rub me the wrong way as much as the other ones do. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because of Lawrence Tierney and Phyllis Diller.
Yeah.
So it's like, I mean, I could skip this one, but it's like, they do enough where it's like, all right, I guess I'll watch it. It's like, it's goofy and I'll just roll my eyes through it, but it's like, I wouldn't skip it. It's just like, not my favorite, but like, I mean, I'd always put the horror episode before one of these.
Yeah.
But as far as the comedy ones go, it's fine.
Yeah.
Like, I'll take it. It's like, it's a rip on The Exorcist, and it's like, it's like a scary movie version of that. And, it's all right. It's just goofy.
Before you give your final thought, Joe, I was just thinking that, like, you know why I think it works more than some of the other comedy episodes? It's more satire, kind of like Does the Shoe Fit, or If the Shoe Fits was more of a satire. And I feel like because of that, there's more to bite off than just, oh, dude, does this joke land or not? Whereas this one, it's like, they're making fun of a few different topics here. And I think that's why it lands so well.
And it's like very clear. They're like spoofing The Exorcist. Mm. You get that right at the gate. It's like, all right, it's like, I could just buckle up and go for the ride. It's like,
sure.
That's it.
I think this is a middle of the road for me, but it has a little bit more nostalgia for me because, like, I remember this one specifically, like, my mom always quoting the Ayesha Khandisha thing. It's fun to see Lawrence Tierney and Phyllis Diller, like, bop off of each other, even if they are two pieces of wood hitting together. They're still making a sound, right?
Yeah.
But we need this $50,000.
But we need $50,000.
But it's the delivery of, like, the reason it works is
because Lawrence Tierney sounds like he ate a fucking piece of sandpaper and smoked 20 cigarettes.
But, I don't know. I like the fucking goat feet. The little goat feet are weird, and we forgot to mention it, but like the effects are crazy. Like there is a part at the end where everything's flying around the room and going crazy, and Grandma is like hanging on to the wall, and she's vertical.
Yeah.
So like they had a turning room, I feel like. Or like
true.
Or like, you know, that's pretty expensive to get that effect. It's a funny, weird episode. And again, I think you said it perfectly with it's a comedy episode, but it's inoffensive and less egregious than something like Gin No Chaser, because fucking hate that episode. Well, we collectively hate that episode. Yeah. But like where that's trying so hard to be funny.
Yeah.
And it's just flopping all over the place.
Yeah, and it's like in the Gin No Chaser episode, you have actors you don't really like or like care for.
No.
Well, in this one, it's like the opposite, where it's like you like Lawrence Tierney and Phyllis Diller. So you're like, all right, I'll watch them. They're entertaining.
Sure.
It's like, I'm not offended. They're not rubbing me the wrong way. And
yeah. I agree with you 100%. I mean, they're enjoyable to watch.
Yeah.
And these two old people bumbling around, like even at that time, Lawrence Tierney wasn't like huge.
Yeah.
You know, and even Phyllis Diller was, I mean, she was big, but I feel like they were both
tail end.
Yeah, by
careers.
85, they were like attainable.
Yes, that's what I mean, I guess, is what I'm saying, because you have Phyllis coming in, like, in the Boneyard, Lawrence Tierney, even though he's on Seinfeld, I mean, that's a huge show, but it is, like, a bit part.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's fun. I think it's fine. It's inoffensive, and it still keeps in line with, like, there's possession, there's demon stuff. It tries to even be scary a little bit, even though it's goofy.
Yeah.
And I appreciate when, even though it's a comedy, it still takes itself seriously.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? It's fine. It's a good one.
This is like, it's rated pretty low and like on IMDb.
Yeah.
And people have said like, this is my least favorite episode of the series.
That's
like
a bold
statement.
That's
extreme. There's way worse ones.
Especially when we get to season four. Holy shit.
Oh no.
It's a rough ride.
Yikes.
Yeah.
They are few and far between in that season. Jeepers. So that's The Trouble with Mary Jane. Let us know what you think about this episode in the comments below this video. Make sure you like and share it if you dig it. Subscribe if you haven't, if you're on YouTube. And if you're listening on your favorite podcast app, do us a favor, leave a 5-star review if you're digging the show, because it really helps us reach more listeners, and we'd really appreciate it. But until next time, I'm Joel Escola.
I'm Sean O'Rourke.
And I'm Chris Barr.
Tales from the Dark Side is always there, waiting for us to watch it, waiting for us to hit play. Until next time, try to find it on DVD and watch along with us.